I'm reading from Psalm 27, beginning at verse 1, reading the whole psalm. Thank you. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in a day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God, my Saviour. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my opponents. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I will remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart, and wait for the Lord. I think this is my first opportunity to wish you all a Happy New Year. Thank you. And I wonder if any of you have made any New Year's resolutions. I gave them up a long time ago, mainly because I wasn't able to keep them. They didn't last very long. But it doesn't mean I don't have a desire for change in my life. Of course I do, like every one of us has. And that's why I want us this morning to look at one verse in this psalm. There isn't exactly a New Year's resolution, because it's a prayer. It's a well-known prayer, but I want us to look into it and kind of from that perspective unlock the whole of the psalm. And perhaps come to the conclusion that what we need is not a New Year's resolution, but a priority prayer for 2017. Now that verse is verse 4, and perhaps you may have memorised, I certainly memorised it when I was in my 20s, in the AV of course, but whatever the version, it sounds good. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and seek him in his temple. Now, this is a surprising prayer, given the situation that David was in at the time. What was his situation? Well, his enemies were pursuing him like a pack of wolves, a pack of wild animals, and they wanted to devour him. That's the way he describes it. Not a very good place to be in. Not only that, but there were people who were bringing forth malicious accusations against him. That is why this prayer is surprising, because he doesn't ask God at this time to remove his enemies. That's not his priority prayer here. Though he believes God will do it, he talks about here the time when he will offer joyful sacrifices with shouts of joy in the sacred temple. So he knows God is going to deal with that by faith. He sees it. But that's not his prayer. In fact, in the context, it is a very surprising prayer indeed. He prays that he would be allowed to be in God's presence. And that's what means the house of God here. It isn't talking about a church or a temple. He's talking about being in God's presence so that he can see the beauty of the Lord. And now we've got this. Yes, this is a prayer. Next one, please. Now, before we can delve into this priority prayer, as I've called it, I think we need to talk about the image of God. Because each one of us has a mental image of God. It is not always related to the statement of faith that we've signed up to. I don't know if you here you have any statement of faith. We have one at Canberra. When you become a member, you sign up to it. But that statement of faith doesn't always tell you about your own mental image of God. What you really think about him in your heart. And what sort of God you imagine him to be when you're under pressure. Now, of course, when David says here he wants to gaze on the beauty of the Lord, he's not talking about a physical body, because God doesn't have a body. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So what is he talking about? Well, perhaps we can liken it to Peter when he commends to women that their beauty should not be the outward beauty. That's not the most important beauty, but it should be the inward beauty. And so we're talking about God's inward beauty. If you want the really technical expression of it, his perfections, if you like. But let's just call it our mental image of God, all right? C.S. Lewis said this, and there are three images in my mind which I must continually forsake and replace by better ones. The false image of God, the false image of my neighbours, and the false image of myself. Now, I wish we had time to talk about all three, but we'll just talk about one. the image of God. And all of us, you, myself, and each one of you here in the congregation, will have an incorrect image of God to a degree. Because we won't see God as he is until we see Jesus when he comes. But these images can be helpful to us, and they can be damaging to us, extremely damaging to our lives. That's why David prays when he's in that tight spot. He says, God, I want to see you like you really are. Next one. Now, the first point I'll make here as we look at this verse is, if we have a distorted image of God, our lives become distorted as well. Do I really need to tell you that? Why do you think those people, those people who, in the name of their God, will do suicide bombing and blow up innocent people? What sort of God do they have? A God they think will reward them with paradise for blowing up innocent people. And that's a frightening consequence. But what sort of God do we have? Now, even in this psalm, we can get indications of some of the false images of God that we can get. So, let's the next one. We can get a good image of a God who is always angry with us. If you look at verse 9, there in verse 27, Psalm 27, there's a hint of this. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Now, if this is King David speaking here, why would he think that God was angry with him? Maybe he was remembering some past sins that were still haunting him. And he was tempted to think that God was still angry with him. Well, I think many Christians would have that lurking feeling that God is angry. Or, as one American commentator put it, God is mad at me. And if that continually lurks in there, we are not going to be good witnesses for our God, because an angry God who's always angry with us or me is not an attractive God, right? You're hardly going to proclaim his name from the housetops. God is so angry with you. No, don't think so. Even Job, when he was really under pressure, when he had lost so much, he, in his darkest moment, he expresses a fear. This is the way he puts it in Job 10 verse 14. If I sinned, you would be watching me and would not let my offence go unpunished. Have you ever felt like that? God is trying to catch you out. But actually, of course, he's not. It's the devil who watches us to catch us out, not the Lord. That is a distorted view of God. And then the second one, there are many distorted images of God I could talk about, but I'm just talking about some that some of the common ones, two of the common ones. Another one is that God is far away. So David in verse 7 says, "Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me." Perhaps he was feeling in his situation that his prayers didn't get any farther than the ceiling, or even bounced off the ceiling. And sometimes it can feel like that when we pray, that God is far away. And of course, many people, especially unbelievers, are not even sure whether God even wants to hear their prayers or is even interested in them. That's why I suspect Julie Gold's song is so popular, even though it was written many years ago. I think you may know it. God is watching us from a distance. It's rolled out every so often. Julie Gold intentionally leaves the question unanswered in that song, in its lyrics. God is watching us from a distance. The question is, he's watching us, yes, but does he care? Does he care? Is he just keeping his distance? David, as he prayed, came to an assurance that actually God really did care. Now, when we talk about prayer, we sometimes like it to a telephone conversation, right? You know, we describe it on a Sunday school talk, you know, it's like having a telephone conversation with God. David describes it in an even more intimate way. In verse, let's get this right, in verse 8, he talks about a one-on-one. "My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, will I seek." Now, when you see someone's face, is it a telephone call? No. It's more like a Skype. It's more like a IOP, or whatever they call it, voice over internet. And you get the face as well. So there's a difference between that, because when you see someone's face, you can see the expression, and the facial expressions are a communication in itself. And in the Hebrew, it's quite difficult to get the exact sense of this verse. That's why different versions put it differently. In one version, it seems to get the sense, the Lord is inviting David, "Seek my face." And then David's heart replies, "Your face, Lord, will I seek." Yes, I want to do that. But behind it all, there's an assurance that God wants an intimate conversation and relationship with us. He's not watching us from a distance. No way. That's why David, later on, he's so convinced of this, he thinks it's worth waiting for. "Wait for the Lord," he says. Because he knows that God is there and is intimately interested in us. We've got to throw off these false images of God, because that makes us distorted Christians. We've got to see the beauty of the Lord. Right, let's talk about the other side. We want to gaze on the beauty of the Lord. And if we have a beautiful God, it's going to give us a beautiful life. David's greatest fear actually was not his enemies. If you pick that up in Psalm 27, he knows God can deal with him. What he's afraid of here is that God will reject him. So in verse 9, "Do not reject me or forsake me, God my Saviour." That's what he says. So underneath the surface, he's got one nagging fear, that God will reject him, which he rejects later on as he realises what God is like. God actually is answering his prayer. He brings his fears to the surface. He tells God, I'm afraid you're going to reject me. And God gives him a glimpse of his beauty. And what is that glimpse of his beauty? Well, this well-known verse, I'm not sure if we understand when we quote it. Even if my parents forsake me, the Lord will receive me. So what's he saying there? Well, in the very, very, very unlikely circumstance that our parents would turn their back on us, but it does happen. There are many sad cases where that happens. Children have to be adopted. But even in that sad case, God, the Lord, he's even more reliable than our parents. He's not going to reject us. We can rely on him even more than our mum and dad. God is beginning to show him just a glimpse of who he is. He's not an unreliable God, he's a saving God. You know, David could have been very, very, very afraid. Imagine your enemies are pursuing you like a pack of fierce animals. Or today's enemies may be slightly different. They may not be people with a sword. They can take different forms. But he wasn't afraid because he got a glimpse of what God was like. What David begins the psalm with, Psalm 27 with, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear?" is actually the conclusion of what he's been praying about. He's been praying for God to show him his beauty. He's got a glimpse of what God is like. That God, so he can say, God is my light and my salvation. God has just drawn the curtain back and he can see what God is like. So, his enemies were pursuing him, but he was no longer afraid because he knew what God was like. Well, finally, David got to see a bit of what God was like. But we only see what God is really like in the face of Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. And Jesus said, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." David got to see Jesus, but only at a distance as the one who was coming. But he has come, and we've seen what he's like. And as we know Jesus and get to know him better, that knowledge changes us. But just two things here before we just dismiss this very glibly. This is not a call for another New Year's resolution. It's not a call for you to try harder or to read the Bible harder, because just trying hard is not going to be enough. So I want to make two points about this prayer that come naturally out of it. David makes a meal of saying, let's make it this right chapter here. "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek." Do you think he's serious about that? One thing. One thing. Now, I don't know if you watch The X Factor. I don't watch it, but sometimes I get a few sentences out of it. One of them is, the judges always seem to be telling the competitors, "You've really got to want this. You really got to want it." That's what the judges are telling the competitors. And I could say the same about us. If we want to get a glimpse of the glory of God, the beauty of the Lord, we've really got to want it. And we've got to tell God that we want it. This is not for the casual Christian. Secondly, we can't do it on our own. You can read the Bible until the cows come home, and you won't get a glimpse of it, unless the Holy Spirit shows it to us. Look at this verse. This comes from the New Testament. It says a similar thing. It just substitutes the glory for the beauty. "And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory," or reflect the Lord's glory, "are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory." And where does it come from? From our Bible reading? Which comes from the Lord who is Spirit. We can't see God unless he shows himself to us. And he shows us to us, yes, through the word of God, but through the working of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and minds. Paul, if you look at his New Testament letters, is always praying that for his converts, that they would know God. And he prays that God would give them the spirit of revelation. Don't kid ourselves. This is just a human activity. It's the Holy Spirit who would do it for us. God alone can show us what he's like. God alone allows us to gaze on his beauty. And we've got to ask him for it. And maybe, like David, it is worth waiting for. Well, I won't go on to more, though. I would like to talk about why David goes on to pray, "Show me your ways, O Lord." Because once you've seen the beauty of the Lord, you want to be like him. That's why it says in the New Testament, be imitators of God. There's something to do, isn't it? Be imitators of God. So it is important for us to get a glimpse of what God is like. And we should be continually asking God by his Spirit to show us what he's like. So once seeing what he's like, when we talk, say, for example, to an unbeliever about him, we say to him, God is amazing. He is really amazing. Or when we're in trouble, I'm really in trouble, but God, I know what you're like. You can rescue me. And you will. Well, may God help us so that we can all make this prayer our priority prayer in our lives. Shall we just pray before we sing? Father, we sang earlier that you are an amazing God. And we believe you are an amazing God. We don't believe that you're an angry God who wants to destroy us or takes any pleasure in the death of the wicked. You're a God who sent your Son, who came to save. You are a beautiful God, though we often have such contorted images of you. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will show us what you're really like. You will open our eyes by your Holy Spirit so that we can get a glimpse of your beauty. A glimpse of our beauty which will change, well, even though it doesn't change our circumstances, it changes us. And it changes the way that we talk to unbelievers about you and the way we look at ourselves. These things we ask in the name of Jesus through his Spirit. Amen.